யோபாகரோத்தம் ப்ரவணம் முனீநாம் பதஞ்சலிம் ப்ராஞ்சலிரானதோஸ்மி. சர்வேஷாம் சுப்ரபாதம். யோகசூத்ர பரிச்சய கக்ஷயாஹ ஷஷ்டஹ வர்கஹ. This is the sixth session or sixth class of Yoga Sutra Parichaya, the course Yoga Sutra Parichaya. Sarvesham Swagatam. So, as usual, let us review the previous class before starting today's discussion. So far, we have discussed three units of the Pastpada. So, the first four sutras was the first unit, which is Chatusutri. The first four sutras, which covered the essentials or the fundamentals of Yoga Sutra. So, Purusha, Prakriti, and the idea of Chitta Vrittis, presenting a distorted view of Purusha. So, that was discussed in the first unit. And the Chitta Vritti Nirodha, or restrainment, or cessation of Chitta Vrittis, efforts towards that end, that will lead to Yoga. So that was presented in the first unit, and then in the second unit we saw about the classification of Chitta Vrittis, the Klishta Chitta Vrittis, Aklishta Chitta Vrittis, those Chitta Vrittis that cause affliction, those that do not, that is Sattvic, Tamasic and Rajasic Chitta Vrittis, and then we discussed about five other type of Chitta Vrittis like Pramana, Viparyaya, Vikalpa, Nidra and Smriti. Is my voice heard now? Is my voice audible? Okay, fine. Right, and then in the third unit, in the second unit, we also saw about the two fundamental methods, that is Abhyasa and Vairagya for Chittavritti Nirodha, and in the third unit, we saw about Samadhi and its twofold division. Samprajnata and Asamprajnata Samadhi we saw, and then further the Asamprajnata Samadhi was subdivided into Videha Pratyaya and Bhava Pratyaya, Upaya Pratyaya and Bhava Pratyaya. Upaya Pratyaya Samadhi, which includes various upayas for a yogi like Shraddha, Virya, Smriti, Samadhi, Prajna and others, and Bhava Pratyaya Samadhi is attained by near birth itself due to the karmas or due to the yoga practice or due to the refinement attained due to the practice of yoga in the previous birth. A person by birth attains Samadhi, so that is called as Bhava Pratyaya Samadhi, and Videha Pratyaya Samadhi, Asamprajnata Samadhi is attained by the methods called Shraddha, Virya, Smriti and Samadhi. And even there we saw the efforts to be put in. So as the intensity of the effort in practicing the methods increases, So earlier it is attained. So the effort and the attainment of result, so they are closely connected. So that was also discussed in the third unit. All this occurs within the first 22 sutras of the first pada, so which we classified into three units. Now we shall move into the fourth unit of the first pada, which is Ishvara Pranidhana, which discusses about Ishvara Pranidhana and Yogantarayaha. Yes. So, after presenting these methods, or after discussing Samadhi, and after presenting the tools like Shraddha, Virya, etc., suddenly we see in this 23rd sutra that there is a discussion on Ishvara and Ishvara Pranidhana. Actually, this discussion ranges from Sutra 23 to 32. Quite a major chunk of this first pada is devoted to Ishvara Pranidhana. Even in the second and third padas also, there are references on Ishvara Pranidhana. So I had mentioned in the previous class also about the importance given by Patanjali on Ishvara, to Ishvara. So, this discussion on Ishvara is also interesting. That this is even the difference between the Sankhyas and the yoga system of philosophy, as has been organized by Patanjali. So, in the Yoga Sutras, though it follows Sankhya system of philosophy mostly, so this is one fundamental difference with the Sankhya, that it accepts and discusses Ishvara and presents a role to Ishvara in the process of attainment of Samadhi. And the sutra Ishvara Pranidhana Dva is worth noting, that as an alternative to the other methods, other upayas, Ishvara Pranidhana has been presented as an alternative method to attain Samadhi, the Asampragnata Samadhi. So, Ishvara Pranidhana is made up of two words, Ishvara and Pranidhana. So the term Ishvara is discussed in three or four sutras that follows. And Pranidhana has been explained by Vyasa in the commentary to this sutra itself. So Vyasa in this commentary says, Pranidhana is Bhakti Visheshaha, a special devotion. That is that is defined as Pranidhana. And elsewhere in the second or third pada, he presents Ishvara Pranidhana as Parama Gurau Kriyanam Kriya Phalanam Sampurnataya Samarpanam. So Ishvara, the primordial being, so submitting or offering all the actions and all the benefits or the results of actions, fruits of actions to Ishvara, according to Vyasa, is Ishvara Pranidhanam. And he further adds, how does this Ishvara Pranidhana work? Bhakti Visheshad Avarjitaha Ishvaraha Tam Anubrinhati. So Ishvara, being attracted, the attention of Ishvara is drawn by a practitioner, by his pranidhana, and he is blessed with samadhi. So that is how each pranidhana aspect of Ishvara pranidhana has been explained in the Vyasa Bhashya and Sutras 24, 25, 26. So these three sutras now define who Ishvara is, on whom pranidhana has to be practiced. So the three sutras are Klesha Karma Vipaka Ashayair Aparamrishtaha Purusha Vishesha Ishvaraha Tatra Niratishayam Sarvajnya Bijam Sa Purvesham Api Guruhu Kalena Anavachedat. So Patanjali presents his idea of Ishvara in these three sutras, on whom pranidhana has to be practiced. So, now, the Prakriti and Purusha were presented as the two fundamental units of the universe, and this third aspect, that is Ishvara, is introduced here, apart from Prakriti and Purusha. And who is this Ishvara? He is also a Purusha. But Purusha Vishesha, a special kind of Purusha. That is how the Yoga Sutra, Patanjali presents Ishvara as. Ishvara is also a Purusha, but he is a Purusha Vishesha. So what is the Vishesha? What is so special in him? The speciality of that Purusha, the Vishesha of that Purusha is Aparamrishtaha. He is not touched. He is never associated with klesha, karma, vipaka and ashaya. In this slide, ashaya is left out. So, by these four aspects, Ishvara is untouched. Ishvara is a purusha, an atma, who is vishesha, who is vishishta, who is special. In what way he is special? He is free from, in the sense, he is untouched, aparamrishtaha, by the four aspects which are often associated with Purusha, the normal Purusha, the normal Jivatma, which are Klesha, Karma, Vipaka and Ashaya. So, what is Klesha? We had, in a very very brief manner, discussed this in the beginning itself. While discussing a verse from Tattva Vaisharadi, I will present it in a bit more detail. Klesha, in the second pada, again there is a detailed discussion on kleshas. There are five kleshas, five factors that afflict the mind, that cause all the suffering in the mind. They are avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha. Avidya is ignorance and asmita is egotism or ego. Raga is attachment to material things, worldly things. Dvesha, hatred, and abhinivesha, clinging to life or fear for death. So these are the kleshas, and Ishvara is not associated in any way with these five. And karma here refers to the result, that is the impact of the karma on the atma, on the Jivatma, according to the commentators. So they say punya apunya. Karma here refers to punya and papa. So how does one commit punya or papa because of the kleshas. When the kleshas are in action, people commit. Sometimes they are favorable to someone, do good things, and sometimes they are not favorable to people, and hence they commit wrongdoings. So karma here refers to punya papa. Karma bhihi aparamrishtaha. So he is not touched. Ishvara is not touched by kleshas. Ishvara is not touched by punya papa. And vipaka. And from this punya papa, vipaka, the phala, the enjoyment or the experience of the results of punya papa is called as vipaka. Again, there is detailed discussion about this concept of vipaka in the second chapter. Vipaka is threefold. So how do punya papa express themselves in the next birth of a jivatma? They express themselves in threefold manner: jati, ayu, and bhoga. Jati, so depending upon one's punya papa karma, the jati is determined. Jati has to be clearly understood. Jati is not referring to caste or a sect here. Jati here refers to the type of the species in which a person, a type of a being, an animal or a plant or a human being. So jati simply means janma, the kind of janma. Is it a manushya janma, or it is a prani janma, or is it a thavara janma? Thavara means plants and trees. So jati here refers to this aspect. So purva karmas, punya papa, determine what our jati is, whether we are born or born as animals, plants, or human beings. So jati is one aspect of vipaka. And ayuhu is the duration of life, the span of life, how many years. So born as animal or a plant, so how long we are going to live. So that is also determined by the purva karma. So that is called as ayuhu. So jati, ayuhu. And then bhoga. Bhoga refers to the major experiences, the fortunes and misfortunes that are some aspects of fortune and misfortunes are our own making, of our own making in this janma. But many aspects of good and bad experiences are predetermined, which arise from the punya papa, according to the punya papa. So that is the third aspect of vipaka. So jati, ayu, and bhogaha. So a normal jivatma is afflicted by these vipakas, whereas normal purusha is associated with these vipakas, but whereas Ishvara is the one who is not afflicted by these vipakas. So klesha, karma, vipakaihi aparamrishtaha. And the fourth aspect, vipaka ashayaihi aparamrishtaha. So what is the term ashaya referring to? Ashaya is again a very interesting term. It has a lot of implications. Interesting aspects are there. So ashayas are the impressions that the vipaka leaves on the intellect, on the chitta. Let me explain. The impressions, the definition that I am providing for the term ashaya is the impressions left on the chitta due to the experience of the vipakas are called as ashaya. Ashaya simply means repository, a collector, a place where things are collected. We say jalashayaha for water tank. We say jalashayaha, a place where water is stored. So, and similarly, Ashayaha, the commentators provide another term to this, which is more popular, Vasana. So, Vasanas. So, what is the role of Vasanas? It's again very interesting to note that the Vipakas, they induce these Vasanas and they start operating. For example, in the previous Janma, a Purusha was took birth as an animal. And now, in this, the next Janma, due to his Punya Papa permutations and combinations, he is said to take birth as a human being. So, in some of his previous births, he might have been a human being. So, what happens is, when the Vipaka for the next birth starts unfolding, the first thing that it does, according to the commentators, in the third and fourth chapters, we have a lot of discussion about this. The first thing that the Vipakas do is, they release the Vasanas of a Manushya Janma. So, the Chitta has various Vasanas, because it has gone through various Janmas. It has the Vasanas of a cat, it has the Vasanas of a plant, it has the Vasanas of an elephant, it has the Vasanas of a human being. So, many Vasanas are there. So, when the Manushya Janma Vipaka is about to unfold in the upcoming Janma, the first thing that it does is it kindles the Vasanas of Manushyatva, so that a person starts behaving as a Manushya in the next birth. So, it is because of the kindling of Manushya Vasanas that a person starts behaving as a Manushya. So, that is the theory proposed by the Yoga Sutras. So, but there is an interesting thing is, in the course of the birth, a person is able to control or even reduce the kleshas, or reduce the impact of the kleshas. What happens is, these vipakas cannot kindle those vasanas, so of the next birth, and next birth is avoided in that manner, and that the process begins in that manner, or the process towards Kaivalya happens, the attainment of Kaivalya happens in that way. So, Vipaka will act, the point is, Vipaka will act only when the kleshas are active. So, if the kleshas are subdued, if the kleshas are decimated, if the kleshas are made impotent, if the kleshas are made in such a way that they are unable to express themselves, raga, dvesha and adinivesha, vipakas do not present their results. So, there is a connection between kleshas and vipakas. So, this Purusha Vishesha, Ishvara, does not have any vasanas, does not have vipaka, does not have any association with karma, and all this is because he is never ever associated with the kleshas. So, thus he is Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? Ishvara is a Purusha Vishesha who is not associated at any time with kleshas, karmas, vipaka and ashaya. And this is the first aspect of Ishvara that Patanjali presents. And the second aspect of Ishvara is Niratishaya Sarvajnyatvam. He is the one who has omniscience. That is, he knows everything. his sarvajnyatva, he is a sarvajna, his sarvajnyatva is unmatched. He knows everything that happens in this universe. So, he knows, he is probably sarvajnyatru, sarvajnyatva, niratishaya sarvajnyatva. His unmatched omniscience probably is introduced by Patanjali to present the fact that he is the Sakshi who is watching every action. Everything that is done in the universe is known by him. So that aspect is brought by the second sutra, that is on Ishvara's definition, Niratishaya Sarvajnyatva. And so since how long has this Ishvara been? The third sutra in this series that defines Ishvara is presented here. Purvesham Guruhu Kalena Anavachedat. Purvesham, in the sense, he is the Guru, he is senior, or he is even the he is even beyond, he is not limited by time, and so he is earlier, he is prior to even the creators like Brahma and others. So he is not limited by time. His knowledge is not limited, and he is not touched or associated with klesha, karma, vipaka and ashaya. So in these three sutras, the form and structure or the definition of Ishvara is brought out, and what happens is in this Ishvara, pranidhana has to be done. So pranidhana or bhakti vishesha, special devotion has to be expressed. So where to express that special devotion? One has to express that devotion to Ishvara. Who is that Ishvara? Ishvara is the one who is free from klesha and other things, who knows everything that happens, and who was, who is, and who will be, who is not limited by time. So, this is the discussion on Ishvara. So, by this Ishvara Pranidhana, and Patanjali also presents how to practice this Pranidhana. So, initially, Pranidhana was presented, and how to practice that Pranidhana. Sorry, I have moved to the next slide. I will just go back. The system is a bit slow. So, now it's back. Sorry. So the Pranidhana of Ishvara. Oh, sorry. The file has suddenly closed. File is loading, and shortly resume. So now we are back. So Patanjali also presents how to practice this pranidhana, an easy method to start the practice of pranidhana. So for that he presents an important sutra. It says tatya vachakaha pranavaha. Pranavaha, the omkara, is the one that indicates, is an indicator, or is the word to express tasya of him, that is to express him. Pranava is the word, so it is the expressor. Pranava is the word that aptly expresses Ishvara. Pranava probably is the primordial sound which exists, which shares the same characteristics with Ishvara, and hence it has been chosen by Patanjali as the representative or the expressor of Ishvara. And tasya vachakaha pranavaha tad japaha tad artha bhavanam, in the sense that as in the world Ishvara is omnipresent or omniscient, is present everywhere, similarly in the verbal, in the realm of words, pranava is omnipresent, in the sense akaratah makara paryanta. So it covers almost all the letters, and there are tons of references about the significance of pranava. But as in the realm of words, pranava covers the range of words from akara to makara. Similarly, Ishvara is omnipresent, omniscient in the realm, the real world outside. So, with that resemblance, with those aspects, pranava has been presented as the vachaka or the expressor of Ishvara in terms of words. And how do we utilize this pranava? Patanjali says tad japaha tad artha bhavanam. In sutra 28 he says tad japaha tad artha bhavanam. One has to repeat pranava and then artha bhavanam. One has to visualize the meaning that pranava indicates. And one more aspect, my explanation of pranava might have been insufficient. Because yes, we get a lot of references on pranava, but mostly the special meaning of pranava is attained only through the Guru Shishya Parampara. So as pranava has various shades of meaning, so it is the guru who intimately knows his shishya who gives the right kind of the meaning that is appropriate to the shishya to meditate upon pranava. So the meaning of pranava has to be received from an appropriate guru. But references are lot in the texts. So right from the Upanishads, you have lots of discussion on pranava. In the Prashnopanishad, you have discussion. You in Mandukya Upanishad, you can understand, if you go and refer Mandukya Upanishad, the Prashnopanishad, you will find lot of discussion on pranava. So I am not going into those aspects, because if we go branch out into that, it will again be a very great digression. So I am not going into the meaning of the pranava. So I have just indicated the meaning. And the second important aspect that I wanted to stress was that the meaning is subjective, in the sense it depends upon what the guru wants to bestow upon his shishya. Understanding the level of refinement of the shishya, the guru appropriately gives the meaning of the term pranava. So, yeah, this is just a digression. So now let's move to the next sutra. And so this is how Ishvara Pranidhana is done. So at the mental level, Ishvara Pranidhana has been described as the submission of all actions and all the benefits of all the fruits of actions to Ishvara. So towards that goal of Ishvara Pranidhana, the repetition of Omkara and the meaning that it contains in itself as given to us by the Guru. So that is one method which might lead to that higher state of Ishvara Pranidhana. So probably in these sutras on Ishvara Pranidhana, we find two levels of Ishvara Pranidhana. One at the level of the mind, submitting all the actions and the results of action. That is the primary Ishvara Pranidhana. And towards that, utilizing the words, utilizing the realm of the words, Omkara is presented, which gradually leads us to the understanding of Ishvara, and then after that probably the submission of actions and the submission of the fruits of the actions might happen. So Pranidhana through the japa of Pranava comes first, and then probably one graduates into a higher Ishvara Pranidhana, which is devotion at the level of the mind. So the concept of Ishvara was presented, and the two probable levels of Ishvara Pranidhana was presented here. And so though at the beginning itself Ishvara Pranidhana Dva, Samadhi is attained by Ishvara Pranidhana, has already been implied in the first sutra, in the sutra that started out the discussion on Ishvara Pranidhana, still the benefit is repeated once again in Sutra 29. So, what is the benefit of Ishvara Pranidhana? Pratyakchetana adhigamaha. Sutra 29 says, Tata pratyakchetana adhigamaha apyantaraya bhavascha. So, pratyak means pratyakchetana. Chetana is consciousness. Pratyak, the innermost. So, the consciousness that stays, the innermost consciousness, that is that which is beyond the body, beyond the senses, beyond the mind, and beyond the intellect. So, the innermost consciousness, adhigamaha, that is realized. So, through Ishvara Pranidhana, pratyakchetana adhigama is attained. So, the innermost consciousness is realized through Ishvara Pranidhana, and in the process, one overcomes the antarayas also. So one easily overcomes the antarayas. Antarayas, obstacles in the path of yoga. So in the Sutra 29, twofold benefits. One is the major benefit, the major result of Ishvara Pranidhana, and the other is the benefit that also happens in the process. That is also mentioned. So, realization of the innermost consciousness, pratyakchetanadhigamaha, and antaraya bhavaha. Abhavaha, absence, antarayaha, obstacles. So, obstacles in the path of yoga are overcome naturally, and a person attains the realization of the innermost self, tataha, by Ishvara Pranidhana. So that has been presented. So though in the 23rd sutra itself, the benefit of Ishvara Pranidhana is implied, that that is attainment of samadhi, still repetition of this seems to indicate that Patanjali has laid more emphasis on Ishvara Pranidhana. So, abhyasa or repetition of any concept in a literature like Sutra. Sutra literature is alpaksharam asandigdham. So, within minimum words, many ideas are conveyed. So, the repetition of the benefits itself indicates the great emphasis that Patanjali wants to put on this concept of Ishvara and Ishvara Pranidhana. Now, so to some extent, we have seen Ishvara Pranidhanam. So, how Ishvara Pranidhanam is a upaya for samadhi, and what is Pranidhanam, what is Ishvara, how is Ishvara defined. So, how is Pranava Japa a stepping stone to attain or to practice Ishvara Pranidhanam, that was presented. And so, this was the discussion on Ishvara Pranidhana in the fourth unit. And at the fag end of it, we find a mention of Antaraya Bhavaha. Ishvara Pranidhana also affects in the process the absence of obstacles to the path of yoga. Now, the next sutra, the sutra number 30, lists out what are all the possible antarayas, obstacles in the path of yoga. What are all the factors that may delay, that may cause bottlenecks towards the attainment of the goal of yoga. So, the sutra is very interesting. It lists out 9 antarayas, 9 obstacles in the path of yoga. They are vyadhi, dhyana, samshaya, pramada, alasya, avirati, bhranti darshana, alabdha bhumikatva, anavastitatvani. So, these are the 9 antarayas. And I will explain all these. And these antarayas, another interesting term to antarayas have been presented by Patanjali, chitta vikshepaha. So, these are called as chitta vikshepas. It's a very important term. Chittam vikshipati. When these obstacles manifest in the mind, what happens is the mind is thrown away. It is the mind is simply scattered. The mind gets vikshipta. Kshepanam is to throw. So the mind gets distracted. So distractions. So chitta vikshepa, the right translation for the term would be distractions. So these are the chitta vikshepas which cause. So why are these really obstacles? Because these are chitta vikshepas. So all that we are focusing is chitta ekagrata. The focus of yoga is to focus the theme of yoga or the goal of yoga is to focus the mind. Whereas these obstacles are those factors which does not allow the mind to focus, and the mind is thrown into various distractions, various things. So these are the obstacles for the mind which intends to attain focus. For others, obstacles to whom? Obstacles to those who intend to attain focus. So, in that way, the term chitta vikshepa is very interesting, which pinpoints as to why these are to be overcome. So, unless and until these antarayas are overcome, the mind cannot focus. So, व्याधि व्याधि इज डिजीज सो व्याधि कॉसेस द माइंड डिस्टर्बेंसेस इन द माइंड व्याधि डिस्ट्रैक्ट्स द माइंड ध्यानम ध्यानम अकॉर्डिंग टू Vyasa is akarmanyata chittasya. Dhyana is the inactivity of the mind or the lack of interest in the mind. And to practice yoga, to practice the methods. And samshaya, samshaya is doubt. So when the mind is afflicted by doubt, then progress cannot be made, and then pramada samadhi sadhananam abhavanam, not practicing the methods of or the steps that are laid out to attain samadhi. So dhyana is the lack of interest, and pramada is not following the methods that have been laid out for attaining samadhi. So not being systematic. That is pramada. Abhyasa and vairagya. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, all these are methodically laid out by Patanjali. Systematically presented. Not following the system. Failing to follow the system. That is pramada. Or mixing up the steps, that may refer to pramada. Alasyam kayasya chittasya cha gurutvad apravrittihi. Alasyam can generally be translated into laziness, but Vyasa is specific in defining alasyam here. Alasyam is gurutva, the heaviness in the body and in the chitta. So, the sub-commentator explained, so what is the heaviness or gurutva of the chitta and the kaya, the body and the mind? The cause of heaviness of the chitta is tamas, whereas the cause of heaviness of the body is kapha. So when there is, you know about vata, pitta and kapha, when there is a lot of kapha, then it leads to inactivity. So it is the, when kapha increases in the body, it naturally reduces the activity of the body and leads to alasya. And then, similarly, increase in tamas reduces activity of the mind. So, alasyam. And avirati. Avirati is restlessness. Chittasya vishaya sampayogatma gardhaha. It is the intense activity in the mind which is directed not on yoga, but on the objects outside. So, intense desire or intense craving to focus on objects outside. Vishaya samprayogaha. Vishaya is the objects of pleasure of the senses. So, deep restlessness created in the mind in attaining, or it's a craving in the mind towards the objects outside and not on yoga. So that is avirati. And bhranti darshanam is wrong knowledge. Viparyaya jnanam bhranti darshanam. So not understanding the teaching properly of the guru or the methods if they are wrongly understood. So that is bhranti darshanam. When the teachings on yoga or the practice of yoga is understood in the wrong way, a person naturally goes astray. So Bhranti Darshanam and then Alabdha Bhumikatvam. Samadhi Bhumehe Alabhaha. So even when a person tries, if a person is not able to attain some level of steadiness in Samadhi, Samadhi Bhumi. So there are various levels of Samadhis which will be discussed. There was an indication also previously, the Vitarka, Vichara, Ananda, Asmita and various kinds of Samadhis are there. So yogi is expected to progress in those Samadhis. He has to cross one level after the other gradually. But if a person is unable to scale those levels of Samadhis due to various reasons, so is due to inconsistent practice or various other factors, or his Purva Samskaras and various multiple factors, so that is Alabdha Bhumikatvam, inability to scale the levels of Samadhis. Probably one has to intensify in a very guided manner his efforts to climb from one level of Samadhi to the other level. So those intricate aspects of the failure in which does not allow a person to move higher and higher in the practice of Samadhi, that is Alabdha Bhumikatvam. And then Anavasthitatvam. Anavasthitatvam is lack of stability. I just mentioned about the levels of Samadhi. So a person in the previous Alabdha Bhumikatvam is unable to scale the heights of Samadhi, the levels of varying subtle levels of Samadhi, that is previous. And here the person is able to cross some of the levels but is unable to stabilize his mind in those given levels. So that might be due to a reduction in vairagya or a lack of abhyasa, many factors. So alabdha bhumikatvam, anavasthitatvam, inability to maintain a higher state of mind that has been achieved. So all this is chitta vikshepa. All this will cause distractions in the mind. All these will unsettle the mind. Even though he is a serious practitioner, if even after his efforts, he is unable to scale certain heights, or if he is unable to retain his stability in any given level of yoga, then all that will distract the mind. That will disturb him from further progress. And Anavasthitatvam. So this is the 9 chitta vikshepas. So these are the 9 factors that might cause the distraction of the mind, and te antarayaha, and these will not allow a yogi to progress further. And along with this, there are certain sahabhuvaha. There are certain associated factors. We will end with that. 4 factors which will accompany them, these 9 chitta vikshepas, are dukkha, daurmanasya, angamejayatva, shvasa prashvahaha, vikshepa sahabhuvaha. They also coexist. When these 9, any of these or all of these, when these 9 antarayas afflict the mind, one can also see the coexisting factors which will further worsen the situation. These are the 4. Dukkha, Daurmanasya, Angamejayatva, Shvasa Prashvasa. Dukkha. So when the Chitta Vikshepas exist, the mind will be in a state of suffering. Dukkha. Daurmanasya. Daurmanasya is Chittasya according to Vyasa. Daurmanasya is Ichha, Abhigatat, Chetasaha, akshobha. Because of non-attainment of desired results, the restlessness that is attained by the mind, probably dejection. So we saw that the inability to scale various levels of samadhi, or inability to maintain the stability in the level of samadhi attained. So all those, for a practitioner, there might be dejection, dissatisfaction about, or disappointment in not being capable of achieving higher levels of yoga. So that is daurmanasyam. Dukkha is suffering, and daurmanasyam is dejection. And angamejayatva, and when the mind is not steady, naturally its effect will be manifested on the body and also on the breath. So angamejayatva refers to the trembling of the limbs. When the mind is not focused, the body will not cooperate, and hence one cannot sit steady in the practice of yoga. Angamejayatva and shvasa prashvasaha. Shvasa prashvasaha here refers to the moving in and out of the breaths in not so desirable manner. So the breath being disturbed is shvasa prashvasaha. So when the 9 chitta vikshepas exist, suffering, that is dukkham, dejection, daurmanasyam, angamejayatvam, that is trembling of the limbs, and shvasa prashvasaha, unsteady breathing, all these will also coexist. So these are the 9 antarayas of yoga, which are called as chitta vikshepas, that do not allow the mind to get attain focus. So these antarayas are naturally overcome, are easily overcome, when the mind is focused on Ishvara, these are naturally overcome. Antaraya abhavaha, that's why it has been presented there as part of Ishvara Pranidhana. These, when one is focused on Ishvara Pranidhana, these antarayas are naturally overcome. So in that context, antarayas were introduced there. So this completes the 4th unit on Ishvara Pranidhana and Yogantaraya. There could have been this section is a very important section which differentiates, as I mentioned earlier, yoga and Sankhya, and hence much more detail, much more discussion could have happened. But as I have been repeating, this is a Yoga Sutra Parichaya. So all that I can do here is to open up, or to present ideas that are present in this particular section. Probably in a later session or later course, we can go into detail based on the commentary on what pranava is, how pranava is associated with Ishvara according to the commentaries, and what is the role of Ishvara. Does he have any role to what is the role of Ishvara in granting Kaivalya or Moksha to Jivatma? All those aspects still remain. One can read up further, or we can even discuss it in one of the later courses. So this, in short, is Ishvara Pranidhana and the concept of the Chitta Vikshepas or Yogantarayas. So we have 2 more units to go to complete the first pada. So we conclude the session here. One more concept, Eka Tattva Abhyasa, remains here, which I will cover in the next class. Thank you. Are there any questions? So if you have any questions, we can spend some 5 minutes on that, or we can end the session here. Okay, so again, there are no questions, so we stop here and we'll continue in the next class. We will end the session with the shloka on Patanjali. Yogena chittasya padena vacham alam sharirasya cha vaidyakena योपाकरोत्तम ब्रह्मवीनाम पतंजलिम प्राञ्जलिगानतोऽस्मि. धन्यवाद. Thank you.